Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have a new reality show. It's a departure from our usual, The Boyfriend, a Japanese same-sex dating reality show. Blend up some boiled chicken, chug it down, and let's get started. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great. I feel like it's been a while, right? Since we've done this. We've seen each other.
Yes. And when we see each other, we tend to try to not talk to each other. Yeah. We always go, save it for the pod, save it for the pod. So we, at dinners, sit very far apart from each other. People, I think, in our real life think we don't like each other.
We actually hate each other and like don't want to be next to each other. There was actually, we had just gone to a birthday dinner, and then we're kind of forced to sit next to each other because everybody had already sat down, and I was like, oh, dang it.
Yeah, you know when you have a big group dinner and you show up late, and then you are like, you just sit where you gotta sit, you don't get to choose. Yeah. But somehow we still managed to fill the hours and fill the air with our voices and chit-chat.
We really do. The last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of celebrating.
That's right. You had a birthday.
I had a birthday. We also traveled for a friend's birthday. Your daughter had a birthday. So we have seen each other quite a bit.
How was your birthday?
My birthday, I made the most of it. Both of my kids were home because I chose not to send them to the last week of summer camp. And my husband had to go to work. So that meant I got to spend all day with my kids. But I really... You know, I'm always in a push and pull. I have a lot of guilt around not being present and in the moment with my kids. But then when I'm present and in the moment with my kids, I'm like, get me out of here.
It's fucking boring and annoying, you mean?
So I took them into the city, which is what I was...
Oh, no.
Which is what I would want to do on my birthday if I were alone, right? So I was like, I'm going to do my day. They're going to tag along. It then became a full-on park day / ice cream / meltdown in the marina, which is, if you know, you know, but it is not the place you want to be having a meltdown with children.
It's a neighborhood in San Francisco that's filled with beautiful young kids. Like they come to the city and they want to
fresh out of college.
Yeah, they just go to bars at night. And
there were no children to be seen.
Eat dinners late, the opposite of our lives.
Yeah. And then we went back into the city for dinner at a very nice restaurant.
Oh, just you and your husband?
No, with the kids.
Okay, everybody.
With everyone. So it is one of our favorite restaurants. We have been going here for all of our birthdays in the last year. It's just a very nice, elegant restaurant. People are having dates, a spaghetti pomodoro that's $24. You know, it's that kind of place.
Right.
And I thought, okay, my kids are a little older. They can handle this. And sure, they could not. They were sitting on the table. Ooh. The younger one was crawling under the table. We had to take her out like 5 times. And I was like, this is amazing. I love this.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. But it was also just, you know, a reminder that this is my stage in life. Like, this is it. And I'm embracing it. But I think similar to how you were feeling when you had a birthday this year, I really had a hard time accepting getting older.
I know. Every year it's only going to get harder.
I think it's also, as women, we're degrading quite quickly at this age. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, what has happened?
I know. It's like time actually is speeding up on our faces.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we try, well, I try a lot.
Hey, Jesus. I try sometimes.
You try every other week.
I got the new viral Korean face mask. It was part of my Amazon Prime haul.
The really thick one that
collagen
jelly-like, right?
Yeah. And you're supposed to wear it 4 hours to overnight. Like, you're supposed to sleep with it, and it starts white. I'm sure you guys have all seen it on TikTok.
I've seen it on TikTok.
These girls, and it's like comes in like a few pieces, and it starts off white because it's so full of collagen, and then you wear it overnight, and then when you wake up, it's translucent. Because I guess what they're trying to say is all that white stuff went into your face. Mm. But I've heard some good things about it. Like people are waking up plump. I was going to try it last night so I could talk about it.
So when'd you get it? When'd you get it, and how many times have you used it?
3 weeks ago. And I was so proud of myself because I got a really good deal on it.
Mm. Did you buy it on TikTok Shop? No, you bought it on Amazon.
No, I don't like to buy stuff on TikTok Shop or Meta Shop or anything. I don't like giving them my money. I just want to go direct to Amazon.
Just to Amazon. Just to Bezos.
We draw weird lines around things, and mine
we do.
Is
That's right.
Not
You don't have
funding.
To explain yourself. I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, I got it. So, hey, I got it. That's and the first we'll try step. It. By next episode, I will try it and let everyone know how it goes. And you'll tell me. I'll do it the night before I see you.
Okay.
During your birthday, we also, because we live on the same street, we were coming back from vacation. We were driving home and we didn't know your parents were going to be here. And we saw an older man in your driveway washing your car, like really going at it with like a towel, like scrubbing it. I'm like, who is that? Turns out your dad.
It's my father.
Was washing your car. Is that his birthday gift to you?
No, that's just what he does when he comes here.
Both my husband and I, who do not have parents who do that, were like, what is going on? But I think it was a very much another, you know, window into kind of who are.
Who I am. That's right. I have a very interesting dad. And it's funny that you think it was a towel, because in fact, what he did was he found a bag of my daughter's hand-me-down clothes that I was going to take to somebody. And he used those as the rags. You know, it's great that he washed it, but he also got all these clothes dirty. Other than that, yeah. What else? We went to a 40th birthday for one of our girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. We traveled. We got in an airplane. We got dressed. Went to dinners.
That's right. I wore clothes that had just been cleaned. And I have a real fear of heights.
Yes.
And the birthday girl loves to rock climb. So she had texted me a few months ago to say, like, do you have any fears of heights? And I said, yes, I do. She said, okay, we won't do this activity. And I said, no, don't cancel it on my account. I will join you. I don't know how far I will participate, but I will join you. And I did it.
You totally did it. I was very proud of you. You got to the top. You were a little shaky. Like I could see your like legs were shaking, like wobbling a little bit, almost like a cartoon. You know, you never really see people's actual limbs shaking in fear, and yours were. But you did a good job. And
I didn't look down and I didn't look back. I just focused on what was ahead of me, which maybe that should be the mantra of our lives.
It also helped that our rock climbing guides on this mission were both so cute, like just easy to talk to, easy to look at. You know, nothing helps a girl's trip like two tasty men.
Two 20-year-old men underage,
you know, because yeah, it's just here, tip you and then goodbye. You know, it's rare these days now for us to kind of get out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, that's so true.
And try something new and conquer a fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the week after, you know, we ate some crickets for no reason. Ooh. You know, but like everyone's
like
just
out in the wild. You just caught some and popped them in your mouth.
We were in Oregon. I was with my family and we went to a museum and they were selling crickets.
Bacon like candied?
Bacon and cheese flavor, sour cream, onion, salt, vinegar. Yeah, it was delish. So we brought some home as a joke and everybody conquered their fears and ate their crickets. So we're just conquering fears left and right here. The other people conquering their fears are young men on the boyfriend.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so let's set the stage. The boyfriend. It's a departure for us. It is, first of all,
Japanese.
Exactly.
So we're going to have to change our
JK watch?
Yeah.
JK.
Intro.
It's a same-sex dating show. It's set in Japan. It brings together 9 queer men in one house by the beach. The premise is they spend 1 month living and working with each other. It's very like Terrace House, if anybody has watched that. Except in Terrace House, which is a Japanese reality show where they bring men and women together into a house. Also with the kind of premise of like, you're here together. Like Right. Maybe you'll meet somebody and make some friendships.
And I believe they were all heterosexual. So
yes, this one's a little different. It feels more like, oh, they're here to make a love connection. It also, for more of the Korean reality show watchers, it feels like Heart Signal, another show where they come together in the house.
Because there's challenges that they're giving each person to make a connection with someone else.
Right. And even like Singles Inferno, where you're kind of like forcing these dates and people get to pick who they want to go on dates with. So it's kind of an amalgamation of a few of the things that we're familiar with. But the biggest difference, the thing that we're least familiar with, is the fact that it's all men. And they're here to find love. I was doing some research. Same-sex marriage in Japan is not legal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And there are very few openly gay celebrities still. I think there's one that just came out. Actually, I read it in the news. I think he came out like maybe 2 years ago. And it was like a big deal. But actually, they were very accepting of it. And like, you know, in I think maybe other cultures in Asia, they'd be canceled. He was not. And he hasn't lost any money from it. Are there gay celebrities out in the open in Korea?
Also very few. The really big one, his name is Hong Seok Chun. And he has been around for a while. He's like in his 50s. He was in a really, really popular show that was like Korean Friends. He was, I would say, kind of sexually ambiguous even back then. But it was not part of the culture or even part of the vernacular to say somebody was gay. Hmm. And so I don't think anyone, everyone just kind of assumed he was just kind of an odd bird. And then I think in the early 2000s, he revealed it on a show.
Early 2000s?
Yeah. I mean, because even in the US, that was it was still not as widely accepted as it is now. Early 2000s, he was on an interview and I believe they asked him and he admitted to it, but they cut that part out.
Oh, wow.
But somebody, but then a journalist got...
I mean, it's on the cutting room floor. Someone's going to find it.
Everyone heard it, right? Yeah. So it's like spreading like wildfire. And so then this person went out and put it out in the news.
Got ahead of it, yeah.
Yeah. He was fired from the show called Popopo, which was basically the Sesame Street version, the Korean Sesame Street. He was the host of it. I used to watch that as a kid. But anyway, he was fired. He like basically lost his entire career. He, I believe, then went on to like open restaurants and do other ventures, but his career had been destroyed. And only, I think, relatively recently, I would say in the last 10 years or so, has he come back. Mm. And he's back on shows. And I think now it's a little bit more accepted. So people are open to having him. And then there's a young kid. I don't even know if he's a celebrity or who he is, but he's been on my TikTok and he will join with this guy, Hong Seok Chun. And this young guy is like always talking about how he's a top and he's so open about it. It's really fascinating how much has progressed. And I don't think he doesn't have a show that's on network TV. It might be like a YouTube channel, but he is somebody famous. So I think that's a huge progression. But I think that Japan is probably ahead of the curve because one of the panelists in The Boyfriend is a drag queen. Right. And I don't think in Korea that is something that is as openly and widely accepted and would be put on network TV as it is in Japan.
Yeah. I read a stat that 72% of the public shows support for same-sex marriage in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it does feel like maybe it is more progressive in Japan than maybe Korea towards same-sex marriage.
I think some of that too is because Japan hasn't had as much Christian influence as Korea has.
Well, the tide seems to be turning clearly because this is a same-sex dating show happening in Japan and it's the first of its kind. I mean, honestly, we don't even have that here.
Yeah. And if we did, it would be like on Peacock or something.
Yeah. And it definitely would have different vibes than this one. How did you feel about the first two episodes of the show?
I loved it.
Same. Also because I missed Terrace House.
Me too. And yeah. It was so similar to Terrace House in terms of the way the cliffhangers, the music,
and panelists.
One of the panelists from Terrace House is on there. So I was so excited because I missed Terrace House. Obviously, it was a very devastating ending. And I don't think they'll ever bring it back because one of the cast members committed suicide as a result of like really negative trolls.
Right.
And
yeah, it was an unfortunate ending to that show. But this show is also produced by the same people as Terrace House. Mm, so that's why it feels so familiar.
Yes.
It's got that kind of like comfort TV feel to it. Everyone is beautiful.
Yes.
Everything is beautiful. Yes. They're at this beach town that just looks idyllic.
Yes. I mean, palm trees. Ugh, look beautiful.
They work at a coffee truck. That is the job that is bringing everybody together on the show. Even the coffee truck is just so cute. Doesn't get much business, though.
I know, really. And I've noticed it's only old people.
Yes. I was saying, you know, Japan has an epidemic similar to Korea of just like an aging population. Those are the only guys on vacation. Mm-hmm. All the young people are in the cities working.
I also loved Terrace House. in the beginning, especially because it was pure. Mm-hmm. You know, people went in there almost with no expectation. They didn't go in there thinking that they were going to launch their influencer careers. They went in thinking, I'm going to meet the love of my life. And I think the people here and the boyfriend also have a little bit of that purity. They're, some of them are models and baristas, is I think
there's always got to be a barista,
right? But it feels genuine, like they're here to meet someone.
I think there's also maybe like a weight on them of like, we're the first to do this. Mm-hmm. We kind of have to do it right. You know, it feels like the show, I don't know if this is one of the goals of the show, but it can be trying to kind of like just show relationships between men in Japan's gay community and just like put light on it and like that.
And how normal it is, right? It's just like having a heterosexual relationship.
Right. So I think the producers, I think in so far have picked a really good cast. They're very kind of wholesome. They're very just like sweet, kind, well-intentioned men, as far as we can tell. Episode one introduces the cast of characters. We have Dai. He's the youngest. He's 22, a university student. This boy came to play.
Oh my.
This boy came to eat. We have Taehyun. He's 34. He's one of the older ones, a designer, born in Korea. Do you think he's Korean?
Oh yeah, he's Korean.
He's Korean.
And he's the one that says that his family doesn't know that he's gay.
Yeah, he hasn't come out yet. Ooh. Is this the way to do it?
I don't know. Right.
Seems risky. Ryota, 28, model and barista. He's our token barista. He is also bisexual.
He is bisexual. He initially did not look like he wanted to be there. I don't know if that's just the like resting model face, but he just looked kind of like, get me out of here.
Another phenomenon from watching Terrace House, and again, you know, we're kind of two fish out of water here.
Right.
We're, you know,
we're not Japanese.
We're not Japanese. We don't have much cultural ties to Japan. We don't really know the culture at all. We're also straight women.
Yep.
It's hard to tell like what we don't know. Like we don't know what we don't know kind of thing. But right. I do feel like after watching Terrace House and now this Ryota is a model, I feel like in Japan.
We could be models?
I mean, I always like the models to me are never, how do I say this? The visuals that I would expect, yes. I guess. That yes. is like true of like all the old Terrace House seasons too. A lot of the women are like, I'm a model. And you're like, aren't you?
And one, they weren't very tall. So I think they were just print models. Mm. And not as like striking as we're used to seeing.
Right.
But maybe in Japan, they just like to see normal people.
Maybe. So then we got Ryota. Get Gensei.
Mm-hmm. He's easy to forget.
But gets a lot of action. A lot of these, you know, I think we're coming in with like our impressions of things.
Right.
But again, we're not in that world and we may not know what is hot or not, I guess. He's 34. I think one of the older ones.
Yeah. Very soft spoken. He's a hair and makeup artist.
Yep. And then we've got Shun.
He's got like a knife cut face.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's like the Shun knives.
He's young also, 23, musician, part-time DJ. He's really looking for marriage and kids.
He wants that.
This guy is serious.
He's serious. Oh, I've got a lot to say about Shun.
Me too. We have Kazuto. He's 27. He's a chef. He came in with his sushi, impressing everybody by cooking meals for everyone. He's very sweet. He says he's just wanting to find someone to lay next to.
Aww.
And then last we have Usak.
Usak, yeah.
He's a go-go dancer. What an intro for Usak.
What an intro. Oh my gosh. I love Terrace House. I mean, actually all Korean and Japanese variety shows do a really good job of bringing in these people as a surprise attack.
Yes.
And he was really a surprise. I did not expect that.
It's also like, you know, does Usak want to be introduced to the group in this way? He definitely seems proud of his status as a go-go dancer in the community and everybody is like awed by him. Mm-hmm. But does it like set him in a different light than everybody else? Because everybody's almost like, oh my God, he's so hot. And like, he's too hot.
Yeah, right.
Like, he would never go for us.
Right.
So then does it actually hinder his ability to kind of meld with the group?
It's interesting because we're only two episodes in. And as most of these types of shows, not much has happened. But he has not gotten any action.
No.
Like, nobody has indicated interest yet.
Yeah, the only action he's getting is with chicken.
That's right.
And his budget.
Yeah.
We'll go into the accounting aspect of the show.
A nice beating for how much money he's spending on his chicken.
Only in a Japanese reality show, I feel like, would accounting come into place. There's a lot of ledgers.
Right.
Debits and credits.
They were spending 200,000 yen per month, which is, let's say, about $1,300 for the month. But yeah. Divide that per day per person, it was so little.
Yeah, and poor Dai has to be the accountant. He's like with his abacus over there just calculating everyone's meals. They got to be careful because on Love is Blind, they're getting sued right now because the contestants are like, they didn't feed us. Oh, they basically made us prisoners, right? So these guys are going to be like, they didn't give us enough money to eat.
Yeah, Uzak is going to be like, I did not get enough tips at the Camelot Club.
So those are our cast. The best part of these Asian reality shows are the commentators. And of course, our number one guy who I was so excited to see, Yoshimi Takui. Okay, we're going to butcher these names.
We are going to.
I did study
Japanese in college, but...
Did you?
Yes, but my Japanese is not that good. Takui, but he was a panelist on Terrace House. Was he the main panelist?
He was the funniest one.
He was very funny.
He was always off to the side. I feel like the funny ones are off to the side and the women are always in the middle. But he had a moment of almost getting canceled.
Right. Because he did not have an accountant.
Correct. Nobody was telling him what taxes to pay. So he got in trouble for tax evasion. I remember the episode where he just didn't show up to Terrace House.
Yes.
And I was like, where is he? Where did he go? He had to Google it. Apparently... Japanese netizens may be more forgiving than Korean netizens because he's been back.
He's been back. Although I went on his Instagram and he's hawking a lot of products, like a backpack, a cream with two cats on it. So I couldn't tell if that was like a sexual cream or what. But I mean, I was like, is this a new low? He's having to like make new, he's making a backpack to sell. I also found that he was not as engaging on this panel, maybe because they're being a lot more careful about what they're saying, yeah. Which is sort of what's happening on our podcast too. You know, the bigger you become, the more careful you have to
become. Tread lighter. Well, once you're almost canceled, you got to be careful. And also, you know, he's going to hawk backpacks and creams because when you're almost canceled, you got to like get all the money while you can.
Yeah.
There's no, nothing
too low.
He
probably has a lot of fines to pay right now.
Yeah.
So then we have Chiaki Horan. She looks like she's not full Japanese. Her profile says she's half Irish. And she's, I think, just an actress or TV personality. And then the woman in the middle, who's like our Singles Inferno main woman, her name is Megumi. And also just a beautiful actress. Then we have the cute lady with her hair. I loved her hair. So cute.
The pink hair. Yeah.
Yes. Her name is Thelma. Aoyama. And then the last one, who's the drag queen, Masaki is his name, but his stage name is Durian.
Lolo Brigida. I mean, that's a name. That's a mouthful.
Name.
That's a mouthful. We had to look this up on Wikipedia. Again, we are fish out of water here. We don't want to be saying things out of turn, but we looked up Durian on Wikipedia. It says that he uses the pronouns he, him, in and out of drag. So that's what we're going to go with when we refer to Durian. He showed up wearing a purple suit, very demure.
Have you seen this new thing? So
on
demure.
On TikTok, yes. Yeah, so demure. He's wearing a purple
cutesy.
Suit. So demure. He's yes, wearing a right. collared shirt. So demure.
Cutesy.
He's got his nails done right.
Well, his nails were...
kicking.
Yeah.
That would be like kind of the only sign to me that he's got this alter ego or, you know, this other job. Because otherwise, he just looked like a Japanese TV presenter, which... I was hoping by episode two, he'd come out kind of like more as, you know, Durian, but he's still keeping it neutral. We'll see when he really comes out. I can't wait. So as we said, the first two episodes, we just get to know the cast members. They're getting to know each other. There were a few things that I took note of that was just kind of different about this show. A big part of these like living together in a house shows, there's a lot that's put around the roommate dynamics, but I think it was really noticeable because... everybody is a love interest for everyone in this house, which never happens. So there's no roommates.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like typically the females go into one section, the males.
Yeah.
That's right. So everybody has their own room.
Everyone has their own room. It's like dorm style. You know, and usually in these shows, the roommates become very close or they become rivals. And there's like drama with that. And they're all like very confidants to each other. So without roommate dynamics, we're not kind of getting those confidants.
That is really interesting. There was one guy, Gensei. He's the soft smoking makeup and hair artist. When they went out to the coffee truck, they have to pick their partner. And typically they're picking the people that they're interested in. Gensei picked Dai, who he said was a best friend to him. And I was like, oh, is that just sort of like a euphemism? But in fact, that was a person he wanted to confide in. And I'm sure that is a kind of a hard dynamic to navigate because you're sort of questioning, is this person into me or do they actually just want to be my friend? Whereas for the most part, if you're heterosexual and you're with the same gender group, then you're not like, oh, this girl wants to sleep with me.
Right. Just my friend. So that's a dynamic that's different on this show because of how it's set up. The other thing I noticed is they're very open right off the bat. I don't know if it's because they're all men, so they have that easier camaraderie. But I feel like in these first episodes of these Asian reality shows are actually so painful to watch. Nobody speaks.
Nobody's talking to each other. Nobody says what they're really feeling.
In this show, they're a lot looser. It was actually made it much more fun to watch the first episode.
Yeah. And I loved it because it's a medium between the American reality shows where they're like too upfront and then it's sexual immediately. And then the other extreme of like Korean and Japanese dating shows where like nobody talks for the first few episodes. And so this was like a happy medium of that, you know, and we got a like good kind of sexual tension, but people weren't like, I want to sleep with you right now.
No. There's only, I think, Dai.
Dai for sure, who's just raring to go.
Dai said in episode one, I totally want to sleep with him today.
Yes.
He is ready to go.
He's ready. Also, there was the really funny scene between him and Shun was towards the end. And I think this is the first, this is the one relationship where we're seeing things progress quite quickly. And I feel like they've cut out a lot of stuff. Dai is really into Shun. Shun at first said, I don't like anyone here. Nobody here is my type.
He was so kind of like standoffish and snobby about it.
Mm-hmm. He's such classic pretty boy too, because he's like, oh God, no.
No one here.
Anyone here. Yeah. But then eventually comes around because Dai is just like all over him. And I think Dai has a really fun personality. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a lot of people are interested in him. But anyway, Shun, he is looking at Dai's phone and I guess sees some pictures of Dai. He says naked. I'm assuming there had to be some genital shots.
Oh, there was eggplant for sure.
Yeah. So he was so turned off by that and he kind of shrinks away from Dai.
Yeah.
They were like getting cozy. I think they could have like started touching each other, but he shrinks away. And then they're having a conversation about why he's upset about it. He starts crying. He's so classic, like jealous, insecure, possessive.
Yeah. Also like I got burned.
Yes.
In a previous relationship. So I'm really just like not looking for that. I'm like, you're 23. Mm. You have so much life to live. Take this Playboy. You know, like a Playboy could be fun. Like they're not all assholes.
Yeah,
like,
you don't have to be married at 23. You don't have to have a child at 23.
No. And also, show us the photos.
Yeah.
I need to see what was on that camera roll.
Well, also, they cut out that whole conversation where he told him that he was upset about it because they cut immediately to him saying, him crying. And I'm like, but what happened? I want the argument. I want him to tell him why he's mad.
Oh my God. I want to see those photos so bad. So things are progressing really quickly on the show. The other big thing I noted was kind of the dynamics of gay culture. And I don't know if it's gay culture just specific to Japan, but one thing that came up was a conversation about everyone's sexual like preferences and how two, I think, of the cast members are bisexual.
Yeah.
Dai says his last relationship was with a woman. He likes men sexually and usually dates men where he's more comfortable. But he does say men he's attracted to because they're sexy. Women, it starts with feelings.
Yes.
Ryota is also bisexual. It was just so interesting to hear the other men's take on it in their kind of one-on-one confessional interviews.
Yes, that was very fascinating because they felt like they could not compete with a woman.
Yeah, it's like too much competition. Which is kind of true. You're competing against...
basically the whole world, right? Not 50% of the population.
Right. Durian says, gay men in Japan feel like bisexuals live in another world. And that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
So those were, for me, the big differences that stood out. Anything for you?
Well, because, you know, of course, I always have the eye of a Korean. I thought it was interesting that nobody is interested in Taehyung, the Korean guy. Well, but then
Julia,
I went.
Julia can't no, imagine but
I, this
a
is
world.
Not just me, because I had seen something on TikTok about that guy and why nobody likes him, but I hadn't really paid attention because this was before we decided to watch the show, and I was listening with no context, so I didn't know what this guy was talking about. Then I went on Reddit and I was just like reading through the comments about the first two episodes, and somebody said, "Isn't it interesting that they don't like people are not interested in Taehyung, even though he is really well-spoken, very well-mannered. He's very mature and quite good-looking." And several people were like, I do think that there is a little bit of a negative perception of Korean people. And that was true many, many years ago. If you remember that show and the book, Pachinko, they're basically second-class citizens because they
were brought over in the war.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so people were wondering if that's what it is. And I'm assuming that as it progresses, he's not getting any ass.
He's also one of the older ones.
He is.
And everybody, at least in the first two episodes, seems to be kind of interested in Shun and Dai. They are younger.
Right. And they're the most striking, right? Because obviously first impression, you're like, I'm going to go for the good looking person.
Yeah. And even Durian says it. He says, youth is king. I do love that there is a Korean on this show, because I feel like you're going to have so many takes on this.
Although he doesn't show his Korean side at all, you know, and he doesn't. So far, we haven't seen him talk about it at all. So that will be interesting. I also was confused by Kazuto because he was gone for most of the two episodes.
I know. I think he has to work.
Yeah.
He's an interesting one, I think. The panelists really get in my head, because Kazuto has his interview and he's like, I don't care about looks. I don't care about body type. Everybody else is like, this is the body I like. This is the kind of muscles I want. And Kazuto's like, I don't care. I just want somebody that, you know, I can be with and have a great relationship with. And the panelists are like, false, liar, wrong, boom.
I know. What? I didn't get that impression of him, but you were saying that after they said that, you started to think that about
it. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, you're right. What a faker. But before that, I was like, what a sweet boy.
I thought he was very sweet. He also gave me Park Bo-gum vibes.
Mm-hmm, very much.
But I could see like somebody who's trying so hard. Like, he makes dinner for everyone. He's also very happy-go-lucky. And I guess they don't like to see that in people. But I did like that he said, oh, I don't really care about muscles. And then he sees Usak and he's like, oh my God, I'm panicked. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, he is the most struck by Usak at the go-go dancing.
And it seems like he has known of him. So Usak must be very well known amongst the gay community.
Yeah. And looked up to, right? Like, I'd say, like, in hetero culture, if you had a woman who was a go-go dancer, I'm not sure she'd get the same respect that Usak is getting in this group.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right? Yeah. So in the first episode, they're basically getting set up on dates, working their shifts in the coffee truck. Everybody gets to pick who they want to go on this date with, and they have to pick it in front of everybody. It also, like, doesn't feel like jealous ridden. Everyone just seems like easy vibes. And when somebody gets picked, they all clap politely. Ryota picks Gensei.
Do you think it's because he was interested in him initially?
I think so. I think he kind of says that.
But then very quickly, I think the next day, he changed his answer to Shun.
Like, deep into Shun. He has, like, a big crush on Shun. Yeah. So the problem, though, is Ryota seemingly was interested in Gensei. Gensei has made the mistake of thinking that Ryota wrote him a letter. And so now Gensei thinks Ryota...
A little Delulu over there, Mr. Gensei.
Delulu on day two. Yeah. Gensei. He thinks...
They're making him out to be a little bit of a creep too. Because... So he's had all these misunderstandings thinking that Ryota is into him. And then he goes to the pool. He starts to take pictures of him and then zooming in.
I just thought it was hilarious that Ryota and Gensei, this is the first day on the truck, they sold 1,700 yen worth of coffee or goods. That's 11 US dollars.
They are losing money on this truck. That's not even one thing of chicken, I think, is what they said.
Exactly. It's a nice cup of coffee is 600 yen around. That's what I looked up on the internet. So that's basically three cups of coffee they sold all day. They came home at night. It was sundown by the time they came home. What were they doing all day? I need to know. Dai picks Shun, as expected. He's like talking about how he's in the truck. He's like ready to kiss him. I mean, Dai is horny.
He's so horny. They were tight quarters though. So I could understand. They're just like, you just so into somebody. You're like, oh, I just want to get my hands on him.
I know. And you're just like brushing against each other, just buzzing in that trailer.
Also, Shun, to his credit, it plays mysterious man very well.
Yes.
So they made $60, 9,000 yen.
Okay. Stepping it up. And that's really shameful because Ryota
is a barista.
Yeah.
Although I feel, unfortunately, that Ryota is probably not Shun's type.
It seems like after these first two episodes, Shun likes Dai, but this photo scandal has maybe turned him. But I think Dai seems to be like a bulldozer.
How would you say that in Japanese?
And he seems
bulldozer.
So I feel like he's not going to let Shun go. Yeah. Dai is going to work on this. Shun also has to make a choice for his truck shift. So Shun seems to be like kind of getting a lot of people's attention, and they play this card game, and the lowest number has to tell who their crush is right now. So Shun gets the lowest card. He then goes and tells Ryota, because it seems like he trusts Ryota a lot, who he has a crush on.
And it's not Ryota.
And so Ryota has to sit there listening to his crush tell him who his crush's crush is. And it's not him. It's Dai. It's a love triangle. Episode 2, love triangle.
It just seems like such an obvious choice, though.
I know. But Shun looks like an obvious kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He does. But this is what the Terrace House producers do so well. The cliffhanger. Obviously, the episodes are already out, but I controlled myself and did not watch the next one. They did not reveal who Shun picked.
For his coffee shift.
Also, when I went to Japan, maybe now almost 14 years ago, on a trip with some girlfriends, and it was like a really fun trip just around Asia. So we just partied and partied and partied. And we went to this club in Japan, in Tokyo, and they handed you a card, like from a deck of cards.
Uh-huh.
And I guess there were multiple decks going on, but you had to find your partner that had the exact same card as you.
Oh, that's so fun. It's like a scavenger hunt. So did you find your
mate? I think I did find the person. And then you just like dance with them, and it was really fun.
The only other big pairing that happens, I think, in these two episodes is Kazuto gets a pick, right? We haven't seen Kazuto much in these two episodes. And I thought Kazuto would be a little bit more prominent.
But he's just been gone. He's like working all the time.
Right. He picks Ryota for his coffee shift. And they're really cute together.
They are cute.
So, you know, like Ryota is kind of getting a lot of action. Gensei's into him. Kazuto seems into him. It just seems like the guy that he has a crush on doesn't like him back. Kazuto also has like a very deep conversation again about kind of what it's like being gay in Japan. It sounds like a lot of these men come from maybe more rural areas and they're not from Tokyo, which must have made it a little bit harder for them kind of growing up, right? I assume in Tokyo it must be easier.
At least more, I mean, they're more cosmopolitan, so more accepting. But I'm sure in the rural towns, you have an elderly population, you have a smaller population, so people are not as exposed to those things. And his story was sweet, but also heartbreaking.
Yeah, he says his family are rice farmers. He was expected to take over the farm. There was nobody like him in his village. Mm-hmm. And so because of his sexuality, it sounds like he kind of had to like get out and do things differently. So he says his dream is to serve his parents rice and other goods from his village in his own restaurant. Can we go fund me this kid?
Yes, I know. He seems sweet, even though you hate him.
I don't hate him.
You just think he's a liar.
I just want a little more fire from my contestants. I don't want you to just be here to be sweet and cute.
Yes. There was one funny scene I saw that I was surprised the panel did not make a comment about. So Dai was doing these exercises where he was doing hip thrusts, okay? And Shun was helping press against his hips.
Yes.
I've never seen this exercise, first of all. Secondly, how come nobody said anything about it?
I think it would have been too much. The studio would have been set aflame by the comments of what that scene was.
He could have done it right on top of him.
It was so charged. I was like, I wrote down, how is Dai hiding his boner right now?
Right.
Pitching a tent up there.
Another great scene between these two. So Shun is just like, he's so emotional. And he's telling him like, I was burned. I wanted more out of my relationship. Blah, blah, blah. Dai in the confessional is like, I have no idea what he was talking about. I just wanted to sleep with him.
Yeah, I don't think these two are aligned in their long-term goals here.
You know, I saw something on TikTok where a therapist said that we typically are attracted to people who have the opposite trauma as us, because we're there to heal each other's traumas.
Mm.
Heal each other through some hip thrusts.
So that's kind of what I got from the first two episodes. I thought we would move into objectification corner, our favorite corner.
Mm.
Should we bring back Mary F. Kill?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Mary, who would you marry out of this crew?
I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to say the first thing that comes to my mind, okay? It's going to be Usak.
What? You want to marry Usak, the chicken boy?
The chicken boy. First of all, he knows how to find a deal.
He sure does. He's going to go to non-organic chicken for the team.
Well, I don't know about if I want that, but I don't know. There's something I think about him being, well, one, we don't know much about him. So right. There's a mysterious air to him that I am attracted to. He's also very large and I feel like he would just take care of me.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. He seems to be making good money as a go-go dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's buying some premium chicken.
He sure is. I mean, honestly, the chicken shakes that he's chugging in this show are so, they look so disgusting.
Remember I told you that Dex from Singles Inferno,
uh-huh,
he has his own YouTube channel. He also does that. So
it's a protein, it's a right? That's like, right, maximizing your protein. But right, the problem
disgusting.
That we... Disgusting. Yeah. And the problem that Usak encounters on the show is that there's not enough budget to fund all of his chicken shakes. I'm like, bro, write your buddies. Write your buddies at home. Send some protein,
exactly,
powder.
You didn't come bring any protein powder in, yeah, your bag?
Seriously.
What about you? Who would you marry?
This is a turn from what I was saying earlier, but I think I would marry Kazuto at this point. Because he is definitely seemingly like the most solid.
Yes.
He's sweet. Yes. He cares about his family. I like those aspects of what he's showing us. Who would you F?
Dai.
Wow. Yeah. He seems like he's the most fun.
The most fun, right? Mm-hmm. For the first episode, I just want it to be fun, yeah, a fling. Mm-hmm. Don't stay afterwards, please.
Yes, go away. I'd say same.
Yeah.
Dai is the one.
I mean, yeah. Like, you look at that list, I'm like, not much others. Honestly, I would either, if I were to kill anyone, it would be Shun.
I know.
Or Gensei.
Same.
Shun, to me, I'm like, I love a pretty boy.
You love a pretty boy.
I love
boy.
A pretty boy. I married a pretty boy. He just is so bleh.
I think I'd kill Usak, the go-go dancer. Mm. You know, I mean, I cannot watch you chug these shakes. I just cannot. And just kind of be useless.
There is something about people who are so concerned about their bodies. It's very self-involved, right? Yes. Like he even says he hasn't gotten to know anyone because all he's doing is working out.
Yeah. And also when your budget is... You know, like you're taking a third of the group's budget,
yes,
just
quite
for
selfish.
You, right? I just don't even, they are like giving him more of their share.
Yeah.
And they're being actually very generous to his, you know, I guess it's his career, right? This is his.
Yeah, that's his livelihood. If he doesn't keep it up, he's not getting his tips.
I know. I mean, a month of missing out on chicken shakes, I guess, could do it for you. Like my little one. She had pneumonia for a week. And I just noticed this morning how skinny she got. Mm. In just a week,
yeah,
of kind of not eating your normal like calorie intake, it could really do it for you. So, okay, fine, Usak, you can have your chicken, but I want to kill him. Get him out of here. Send him to a chicken farm.
It looked like when Kazuto was making the chicken in his restaurant, the chicken shake, it was raw chicken.
No, it cannot be.
It looked like it. I would like for you to go back and rewind. And I watched it two times and I was like, is it raw? But you know, actually in Japan, they do eat a lot of raw chicken because it's fresh, like chicken sashimi. So maybe it was fresh from his rural farm.
Oof. That's the worst part about sharing quarters with other people is just when you get diarrhea like that from raw chicken shakes, everybody knows. Oh my God. So that reminds me, I just watched on Prime, they just released a travel show from the two members of BTS, Jimin and Jungkook.
Yeah.
These two guys, they go up to upstate New York and they have to stay in an Airstream together. So there's one tiny little bathroom in an Airstream. Okay.
Oh gosh.
Jimin somehow gets food poisoning.
Oh no.
And has diarrhea.
Stop.
All
See, also,
night.
Only in Korean television would they air something like this.
Yeah,
Koreans love bowel movements. They love to commiserate about bowel movements. They love to talk about it.
I mean, they have the gurgling sound. Like, yeah. I swear, right. From his tummy. I couldn't believe
Wait, no,
it.
Like... They added the sound effect or they were really his?
I think you could just hear that's how bad his tummy was.
Oh my God.
And anyways, I was just thinking about how miserable that guy was, but also that Jungkook is just like sitting in that trailer, just taking it all in, you know?
These guys are like, we are world
famous,
wide international stars.
Yeah. And they're just shitting on TV. Anyway, so yeah, so that was the first two episodes of The Boyfriend. I admit I was maybe a little nervous about starting it just because it is a departure for us. It is a world that we kind of like don't know about and we could really step into it if we say the wrong thing. But it's so universally sweet and lovely.
Right. And they really, for better or for worse, like are not trying to make this a gay show, right?
Right.
It's not like you have to be gay to watch it. It's really about... human relationships, about friendship. It's about navigating emotions. And so I think it's relatable to really anyone.
Yeah. So really enjoyed the first two episodes. I have a guy on my team. He watched the whole season. He was just telling me like episode 5. He says he's never cried that much on a TV show. And so I'm very excited to get there. Anyway, thanks for pivoting with us and going in a new direction. We hope you are watching The Boyfriend on Netflix. We will be back next week with episodes 3 and 4. Join us, and until then, be well, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.